Blog Talk Radio.
I had a dream the other night that, well, I didn't understand. A figure walked in through the mist with a flintlock in his hand. His clothes were torn and dirty as he stood there by my bed. He took off his three-cornered hat, and speaking low to me, he said, "We fought a revolution to secure our liberty. We wrote the Constitution as a shield from tyranny. For future generations, this legacy we gave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. The freedoms we secured for you, we hoped you'd always keep. But tyrants labored endlessly while your parents were asleep. Your freedom's gone, your courage lost, you're no more than a slave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. You buy permits to travel and permits to own a gun, permits to start a business or to build a place for one. On land that you believe you own, you pay a yearly rent, although you have no voice in saying how the money's spent. Your children must attend a school that doesn't educate, and your Christian values can't be taught according to the state. You read about the current news in a regulated press, and you pay a tax you do not owe to please the IRS. Your money is no longer made of silver nor of gold. You trade your wealth for paper so your life can be controlled. You pay for crimes that make our nation turn from God in shame. You've taken Satan's number. You've traded in your name. You've given government control to those who do you harm so they could burn down churches and seize the family farm and keep our country deep in debt. Put men of God in jail. Harass your fellow countrymen while corrupted courts prevail. Your public servants don't uphold the solemn oaths they've sworn. And your daughters visit doctors so their children won't be born. Your leaders send artillery and guns to foreign shores and send your sons to slaughter fighting other people's wars. Can you regain the freedoms for which we fought and died? Or don't you have the courage or the faith to stand with pride? And are there no more values for which you'll fight to save? Or do you wish your children to live in fear and be a slave? Oh, sons of the Republic, arise, take a stand. Defend the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. Preserve our great republic and each God-given right. And pray to God to keep the torch of freedom burning bright. As I awoke, he'd vanished in the mist from whence he came. His words were true. We are not free, but we have ourselves to blame. For even now, as tyrants trample each God-given right, we only watch and tremble, too afraid to stand and fight. If he stood by your bedside in a dream while you were asleep and wondered what remains of the freedoms he'd fought to keep, what would be your answer if he called out from the grave, "Is this still the land of the free and home of the brave?" God bless you, and God bless this republic.
America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours, as we begin the broadcast day here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. It is February 19th, 2013 here, and I want to cover something here. The front page of Drudge, if you look at Drudge, right above the big capital Drudge report is a picture of the current Korean two-bit dictator. And this guy, more than anyone, actually, leadership, reminds me of Cartman when he plays the hall monitor. He's got that kind of thing, just that look about him. Kim Jong-il, the whatever it is. And then above that to the left is a little stream of stories about the press being basically kept away from Obama's outings here on vacation. He's on vacation, of course, doing such a good job for the American people. He deserves a little R&R. It's a busy job selling out what's left of a foreign people. But there's an article here in Politico that is from amongst those links, which I think is more instructive than the rest, so we're going to cover it here on Politico, by Jim Vandenhey and Mike Allen. This is an article by an internet site that's proposing that it's separate and distinct from this inside the Beltway establishment mindset. But then it writes in perfect Beltway ease the following article. President Barack Hussein Obama de Mombasa, I'm already starting to improve it for you fellas, is a master at limiting, shaping, and manipulating media coverage of himself and his White House. Now listen to this. The article continues, not for the reason that conservatives suspect, namely that a liberal press willingly and eagerly allows itself to get manipulated. Instead, the mastery flows from a White House that has taken old tricks for shaping coverage, staged leaks, friendly interviews, and put them on steroids using new ones, social media, content creation, precision targeting, and it's an equal opportunity strategy. Media across the ideological spectrum are left scrambling for access. The results are transformational. With more technology and fewer resources at many media companies, the balance of power between the White House and press has tipped unmistakably toward the government. This is an arguably dangerous development, and one that the Obama White House, fluent in digital media and no fan of the mainstream press is Barack Hussein Obama de Mombasa, has exploited cleverly and ruthlessly. And future presidents from both parties will undoubtedly copy and expand on this approach. The balance of power used to be much more in favor of the mainstream press, says, listen to this, Mike McCurry. If that doesn't ring a bell for you, Mike McCurry was the press secretary to then President William Jefferson Clinton during the I did not have sexual relations with that woman scandal. Nowadays, says McCurry, the article continues, the White House gets away with stuff I would never have dreamed of doing. They dreamed of it, they just didn't dream of actually doing it. Not then. But when you have a White House press corps that for more than a generation refuses to follow up on serious stories, eventually you water down what's left of the press. McCurry continues here, when I talk to White House reporters now, they say it's really tough to do business with people who don't see the need to be cooperative. See, there's not a separate media and a separate power structure. The power structure that decides what the electronic machines are going to say. On the first Tuesday, after the first Monday in November, the ones who write, whose lobbyists write all the laws that get passed that your representative doesn't even have time to read, they have control over both the political sphere and the establishment media sphere, and they control access. They're not going to let Luke Radowski go ask President Obama, sit down with a 15-minute interview for Luke. You think they're open to press? Show me that happening. They just have several different faces, but it's the same power structure. The article continues here. McCurry and his colleagues in the Clinton White House were hardly above putting their boss in front of gentle questions. Clinton and Vice President Al Gore often preferred the safety of Larry King Live to the rhetorical combat of the briefing room. In other words, if they have to go out in the media and make their case, they're going to pick the shows that they think are friendliest to them, the ones that don't ask them very difficult questions, the ones that maybe give them the questions and the answers in advance so they can be loaded up into teleprompters. The article continues here, but Obama and his aides have raised it to an art form. The president has shut down interviews with many of the White House reporters who know the most and ask the toughest questions. Instead, he spends way more time talking directly to voters via friendly shows and media personalities. Why bother with the New York Times beat reporter when Obama can go on The View? At the same time, this White House has greatly curtailed impromptu moments where reporters can ask tough questions after a staged event or snap a picture of the president that was not shot by government-paid photographers. That's an interesting paragraph. At the same time, this White House has greatly curtailed impromptu moments where reporters can ask tough questions after a staged event or snap a picture of the president that was not shot by government-paid photographers. The frustrated Obama press corps neared rebellion this past holiday weekend when reporters and photographers were not even allowed onto the Floridian National Golf Club, where Obama was golfing. That breached the tradition of the pool holding in the clubhouse and often covering and even questioning the president on his first and last holes. Obama boasted Thursday during a Google Hangout from the White House, "This is the most transparent administration in history. The people who cover him day to day see it very differently." This is a quote here from, White House news reporter Ann Compton, who has covered every president back to Gerald Ford. Quote, "The way the president's availability to the press has shrunk in the last 2 years is a disgrace. The president's day-to-day policy development on immigration, on guns, is almost totally opaque to the reporters trying to do a responsible job of covering it. There are no readouts from big meetings he has with people from the outside, and many of them aren't even on his schedule. This is different from every president I covered. The White House goes to extreme lengths to keep the press away." One authentically new technique pioneered by the Obama White House is extensive government creation of content: photos of the president, videos of White House officials, blog posts written by Obama aides, which can then be instantly released to the masses through social media. They often include footage unavailable to the press. Looks like the information czar's theories there are being played out. The Obama administration creating a noise-like situation out of their White House, a voluminous number of photos and videos and blog posts, etc., to overwhelm the traditional media outlets. The article continues here. Brooks Kraft, a contributing photographer to Time, said White House officials have a willing and able and hungry press that eats this stuff up, partly because the news organizations are cash-strapped. White House handout photos used to be reserved for historically important events, 9/11, or deliberations about war, says Kraft. The White House regularly releases day-in-the-life images of the president, a nice picture of the president looking pensive, from events that could have been covered by the press pool. But I don't blame the White House for doing it, because networks and newspapers use them. So the White House has built its own content distribution network. When Obama nominated, the article continues, Elena Kagan for the Supreme Court, she gave one interview to White House TV produced by Obama aides. And then she flopped in her one interview before the Senate committee when they asked her about where she was and what she was doing when she heard the underwear bomber. She was in the White House at the time when she learned of the underwear bomber, and she had some what kind of moment to call it, but she had a very embarrassing moment there for her, a Kagan moment for her. Go watch that questioning to see it. It's truly something that probably only a Kagan could do. The article continues here. There's no question that technology has significantly altered the playing field of competitive journalism, says Josh Earnest, principal deputy White House press secretary and the voice of West Wing Week, produced by the administration. Quote, our ongoing challenge is to engage media outlets with audiences large and small, occasionally harnessing technology to find new ways to do so. By no means does Obama escape tough scrutiny or altogether avoid improvisational moments, and by no means is Obama unique in wanting to control his public image and message. Every president pushes this to the outer limits. His 2012 opponent, flip-flop Romney, was equally adept at substance-free encounters with reporters. But something is different with this White House. Obama's aides are better at using technology and exploiting the president's brand. They are more disciplined about cracking down on staff that leak or reporters who write things they don't like. And they are obsessed with taking advantage of Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and every other social media forum, not just for campaigns, but governing. They use every technique anyone has ever thought of, and some no one ever had, says New York Times White House reporter Peter Baker. Quote, they can be very responsive and very helpful at pulling back the curtain at times while keeping you at bay at others. And they're not at all shy about making clear when they don't like your stories, which is quite often. Conservatives assume a cozy relationship between the White House and the reporters who cover it. Wrong. Many reporters find Obama himself strangely fearful of talking with them, and often aloof and cocky when he does. They find his staff needlessly stingy with information and thin-skinned about any tough coverage. He gets more favorable than not coverage because many staffers are fearful of talking to reporters, even anonymously, and some reporters inevitably worry access or the chance of a presidential interview will decrease if they get in the face of this White House. Obama himself sees little upside to wide-ranging interviews with the beat reporters for the big newspapers, hence the stiffing of even the New York Times since 2010. The president's staff often finds Washington reporters whiny, needy, and too enamored with trivial matters or their own self-importance. So the White House has escalated the use of several media manipulation techniques. The super safe softball interview is an Obama specialty. The kid glove interview of Obama and outgoing Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Bloodsport Benghazi Clinton by Steve Croft of CBS's 60 Minutes is simply the latest in a long line of these. I didn't happen to even see that, but I can only imagine if it was anything like the hearing into what she knew and when she knew it about when our ambassador was being killed, and we had two live drones overhead for each of the 20-minute skirmishes, what she was doing, where she was, anything like the coverage or the treatment she got by the senators, your representatives and mine there, if she got anything like that kind of a treatment on CBS's 60 Minutes, they just basically spent the whole segment praising her and asking her if she can understand how great she is, or is it not really set in how fantastic her Secretary of Stateship has been, and is she really looking forward to some very needed and well-deserved time off in the months to come as she recuperates from long years of service to her country. The article continues here. Obama gives frequent interviews, an astonishing 674 in his first term, compared with 217 for President George W., but they are often with network anchors or local TV stations, and rarely with the reporters who cover the White House day to day. This administration loves to boast about how transparent they are, says Mark Noller, the veteran CBS News reporter, but they're transparent about things they want to be transparent about. He gives interviews not for our benefit, but to achieve his objective. Noller last talked to Obama in 2010, and that was when Noller was in then-Press Secretary Robert Gibbs' office, and the president walked in. There's the classic weekend document dump to avoid negative coverage. By our count, the White House has done this nearly two dozen times, and almost always to minimize attention to embarrassing or messy facts. What you guys call a document dump, we call transparency, the White House's earnest shot back. If that's the case, the White House was exceptionally transparent during the Solyndra controversy, releasing details three times on a Friday. There is the iron-fisted control of access to White House information and officials. Top officials recently discouraged cabinet secretaries from talking about sequestration, and even top officials privately gripe about the muzzle put on them by the White House. Now, here's what I don't get. If you are truly, and I know you're not, but if you truly were an independent media, if you truly had some actual desire for objectivity to get to the bottom of a story wherever it happened to lead, you would be asking questions even on Monday about these Solyndra documents. And if you didn't get answers on Monday, you'd still be asking on Tuesday. And then, of course, the Obama White House would kick you out of the press pool. And then some other objective journalist, if they truly were objective, should ask the question. And eventually, Obama could have a press conference and no one admitted to go. And the rest of the reporters could print stories about how no real questions were being asked, about how Obama's doing a show, a staged event like Sandy Hook, and not taking real questions. They could be putting that 24/7 on their networks. I guarantee you, if they ran stories like that 24/7 on CNN, just for a couple days worth of news cycles, is the president becoming too aloof? What happened to Solyndra? A three-part series, today, tomorrow, and the next day, and then build up with their logos and graphics and sound effects for the next 3 days of you-don't-want-to-miss-it coverage of the Solyndra event. Access would open up. We'll be right back here on the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours, as we begin the broadcast day here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. This one goes out to all of you in the supposedly objective press corps who lack the cojones to ask a real question of your Kenyan president.
You know, I talked with several of you people at the campus. We went out to visit the campus to look around the other day. I talked with several of you, and we asked each other a lot of questions. I asked you questions, you asked me questions, and idea for a song started brewing then. And since I saw you last Saturday, I wrote this song. And I just finished writing this song, the fourth or fifth rewrite this morning, so that's why I've got to have the cards to remind myself of what the words are, the last version I wrote. This song is a very personal thing, I suppose you might say, but it's the way I feel about a lot of things. This song is called The Man in Black. Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back. And why does my appearance always have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on. I wear the black for the poor and the beaten down, living in the hopeless, hungry side of town. And I wear it for the prisoner who has long paid for his crime, but still is there because he's a victim of the times. I wear the black for those who've never read or listened to the words that Jesus said about the road to happiness through love and charity. Why, you'd think he's talking straight to you and me. Well, we're doing mighty fine, I do suppose, in our streak of lightning cars and fancy clothes. But just so we're reminded of the ones who are held back, up front there ought to be a man in black. I wear it for the sick and lonely old, for the reckless ones whose bad trip left them cold. I wear the black in mourning for the lives that could have been. Each week we lose 100 fine young men. And yes, I wear it for the thousands who have died, believing that the Lord was on their side. And I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side. Well, there's things that never will be right, I know, and things need changing everywhere you go. But till we start to make a move to make a few things right, you'll never see me wear a suit of white. I'd love to wear a rainbow every day to tell the world that everything's okay. But maybe I can carry off a little darkness on my back till things are brighter. I'm the man in black.
And welcome back to the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours, as we begin the broadcast day here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. We have here in the news some developments in Korea. This out of Reuters. Post that at 10:27 a.m. Byzantium D.C. time, North Korea threatened South Korea with, quote, final destruction during a debate at the United Nations Conference on Disarmament on Tuesday, saying it could take further steps after a nuclear test last week. As the saying goes, a newborn puppy knows no fear of a tiger. South Korea's erratic behavior would only herald its final destruction, says North Korean diplomat John Yong Ryong. John Yong Ryong told the meeting. John's comments drew quick criticism from other nations, including South Korea, France, Germany, and Britain, whose ambassador Joan Adamson said such language was completely inappropriate, and the discussion with North Korea was heading in the wrong direction. It cannot be allowed that we have expressions which refer to the possible destruction of UN member states, she said. Spanish Ambassador Javier Gil Cantalina said the comment left him stupefied and appeared to be a breach of international law. In the 30 years of my career, I've never heard anything like it, and it seems to me that we are not speaking about something that is even admissible. We are speaking about a threat of the use of force that is prohibited by Article 2.4 of the United Nations Charter, Catalina said. Article 2.4 of the United Nations Charter is apparently their answer to a gun-free zone sign. Since the North tested a nuclear bomb last week in defiance of UN resolutions, its southern neighbor has warned it could strike the isolated state if it believed an attack was imminent. Pyongyang said the aim of the test was to bolster its defenses given the hostility of the United States, which has led a push to impose sanctions on North Korea. Our current nuclear test is the primary countermeasure taken by the DPRK, in which it exercised its maximum self-restraint, said the North Korean diplomat John. Quote, if the U.S. takes a hostile approach toward the DPRK to the last, rendering the situation complicated, it, meaning North Korea, will be left with no option but to take the second and third stronger steps in succession, he said, without indicating what that might entail. North Korea has already told key ally China that it is prepared to stage one or two more tests this year to force the United States into diplomatic talks, a source with direct knowledge of the message told Reuters last week. U.S. Ambassador under the headline subheading rather offensive, U.S. Ambassador Laura Kennedy said she found North Korea's threat on Tuesday profoundly disturbing and later tweeted that it was offensive. Poland's representative suggested that North Korea's participation in the UN forum should be limited. Impoverished and malnourished North Korea is one of the most heavily sanctioned states in the world. Wow, the perils to gun control here and UN regulations just never cease to end. The most heavily sanctioned of states is also the one threatening to nuke people. Go figure. The article continues, it is still technically at war, meaning North Korea, is still technically at war with South Korea after a 1950 to 1953 civil war ended in a mere truce. Washington and its allies are believed to be pushing to tighten the noose around North Korea's financial transactions in a bid to starve its leadership of funding. John said last week's test was an act of self-defense against nuclear blackmail by the United States, which wanted to block North Korea's economic development and its fundamental rights. It is the disposition and firm will of the army and people of the DPRK to counter high-handed policy with tough fist policy and to react to pressure and sanctions with an all-out counteraction, he said. Uh-oh. John is threatening a tough fist policy. John said the United States has conducted most of the nuclear tests and satellite launches in history, and he described its pursuit of UN Security Council resolutions against North Korea as, quote, a breach of international law and the height of double standards. Neither Russia nor China, which are veto-wielding members of the UN Security Council, spoke at Tuesday's meeting in Geneva. Before its nuclear test, North Korea was already facing growing diplomatic pressure at the United Nations. The UN Human Rights Council is widely expected to order an inquiry next month into its leaders' responsibilities for crimes against humanity. Be right back here on the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours. right here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. This one goes out to everybody looking across any portion of any demilitarized zone as we speak. Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours, as we begin the broadcast day here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. There's a story here out of Europe that we're going to have to cover here, because people are always saying that we need to have this or that regulation because somebody needs to guarantee some certain level of quality. And most of the time when you hear that argument from people, they fail to consider that you cannot guarantee quality by creating an unaccountable oversight agency. And then you end up creating problems, like the FDA has, whenever you try to do that. There's an example of this in Berlin, in all of Europe, actually, I think this is going to be affecting. There was a scandal some days or weeks ago about Burger King pulling several of their products from the shelves because it was found that horse meat was used by one of the meat suppliers in or more than one of the meat suppliers in Europe. Now it is being reported just today at 07:30 Byzantium DC time that Nestle finds horse meat in its beef pasta meals. The world's biggest food and drinks maker, Nestle, S.A., has become the latest company to pull some of its products off European shelves after they were found to contain undeclared horse meat. The company, based in Switzerland, said in a statement late Monday that it withdrew some of its beef pasta-ready meals from sale after tests conducted 2 days earlier detected horse DNA. Nestle said it increased its surveillance after reports emerged last month of mislabeled products being sold in Britain. Our tests have found traces of horse DNA in two products made from beef supplied by H.J. Scheibke, Nestle said in a statement. The levels found are above the 1% threshold the UK's Food Safety Agency uses to indicate likely adulteration or gross negligence. You can use 1% filler horse meat, but any more than that indicates adulteration or gross negligence. H.J. Scheibke, a German subcontractor for one of Nestle's suppliers, said in a statement Tuesday that it had never knowingly procured horse meat. Quote, "We regret this incident and will intensify our efforts to provide the highest quality products. As a result, we will conduct genetic tests on all raw incoming meat in future." Nestle insisted that the Buitoni beef ravioli and beef tortellini meals sent to Italy and Spain are frozen meat, sold as lasagnas a la bolognese gourmandes to catering businesses in France, were safe to consume. Other Nestle brands, such as Stouffer's Lean Cuisine and Gerber Baby Foods, weren't affected. Speaking to reporters at the company's full-year results presentation last week, Nestle's chief executive officer, Paul Bulke, said reports that horse meat had found its way into food products in Europe had adversely affected the entire global food industry, but his company had, quote, "very stringent and very disciplined policies with our suppliers to prevent contaminants from entering its products." Quote, "Also, quality has a price," Bulke said, "so that is why we sometimes are a little bit more expensive, maybe, because these things, they cost money." See, when you trust these agencies to guarantee your food is safe, and these, the largest, in fact, supplier in the market, in this case, they perform up to the level of that sanctioning body, of that oversight group. And if their rules allow lax surveillance for them to look the other way while they have strong suspicions or otherwise should know that a large amount of horse meat is being traded in the meat market in Europe and ending up somewhere, and I'd be really surprised, frankly, if there was no prior knowledge of this at Nestle. If there is, they probably should have had some better quality control. If you can't tell beef from horse when you're purchasing it, you need different purchasing agents. But When you trust this one big body to do this, you also take away from the purchaser if they choose to delude themselves into believing that the government can actually guarantee safety of this. They delude themselves into believing that everything on the shelf is good because it all meets a high level of government safety. Instead, what there should be, and the customer wouldn't have to pay for this, what there should be is a consumer reports of sorts for various products. And there may be one or two of those different organizations. And if it gets the seal of all two or three of those organizations, you know what kind of product it is. You can go and check and see that they've done this or that study or this or that test and research and blah, 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 and what their methodology is to assure it's quality food. It would probably cost less overall for that kind of a system to operate than the government monopoly system with the FDA and their billion-dollar processes to get certain medicines approved for distribution when you have willing people wanting to take the risk to put knowingly take the risk of this particular medication, knowing what those risks are based on earlier animal studies, and the FDA saying, no, I know you're going to die in 6 months, but the government has an interest in preventing you from having this medicine, which may save your life or may make you die in 4 months. It just makes no sense from a conceptual standpoint, from a moral standpoint, from an economic standpoint, and there's simply no validity for it constitutionally. Yet these agencies guarantee the quality of our food. As there's now more poisons in our food, literally poisons in our food, than ever before. From aspartame to red dye 40 to straight up mercury in food. Traces of arsenic. Our food has never been of a lower quality than it is today. Back 50 years ago, 100 years ago, the food Americans ate was of higher quality. There was more nutritional content in it. That's what the FDA has done for the American people. Meanwhile, huge, large corporations that manufacture very expensive pills that don't do as well in many cases as some natural cures, but which are heavily marketed on the establishment networks and make billions and billions of dollars, they happen to now own your representatives. They happen to now write the health care. They wrote Obamacare. The drug companies wrote Bush's Medicare addendum several years back, which was an atrocious bill. Obamacare only looks bad in comparison. Or rather, the Bush's thing only would look small in comparison. At the time, it was a huge overreach. It was a financial boondoggle. Obamacare will be worse, but it's brought to you by the same people. It's not about guaranteeing quality. It's about guaranteeing control for a small, select number of people at the top of that billion-dollar pyramid. They know the food is of lower quality. They're the ones doing the marketing and fighting the labeling laws. They know what the studies say aspartame does. They know why there's a huge rise in autism. They know the vaccines are behind it. but they're pushing them anyway because it's about control. It's about having a class of people just smart enough to follow directions, just smart enough to serve them, run the machines, as George Carlin says, required to keep them alive. And that's it. The rest of us they want to kill off in FEMA camps sometime in the near future. That's why DHS and these groups are buying all the ammo. Join us here tomorrow here on the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours, as we begin the broadcast day here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. Go have some organic quality beef today. And so there's people in Europe that would love to have it. Join us here tomorrow on the Jim Dunzing Show here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com.
Too many people in America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Ron's Media Matrix, coming to you live from Southern California, right down here in El Cajon. Today is February 19th, 2013, I'm your host, Ron, and I'll be here with you for the next 2 hours to entertain and inform you. And anyway, I'm going to cover some news articles. We're going to be taking calls. Anything that's on your mind, just go ahead and call in. I'm just going to cover some news, but, you know, I want to get a little conversation started about that meteorite. If anybody saw the big meteorite crash Friday morning, our time here in the U.S., wow, that was really something else. Very unexpected. And I believe it was really odd how it coincided so closely with the close approach of the asteroid. I believe it was DA-214. So maybe we can explore a topic like that today. But anyway, if you'd like to call into the show, you can call us right here at 347-324-3704. That's 347-324-3704. And make sure you keep it locked on to www.freedomizerradio.com for the rest of the day. We have a lot of good shows coming up. And we just finished with Jim's show. And Jim covered some breaking issues with us today. And I'll be covering a few more. So if anybody out there could give me a little bit of a sound check in the chat room, I believe I have a little bit of issue with the Skype monster, but if I don't sound really clear, let me know there at the chat room at freedomizerradio.com. Otherwise, I'll just keep right on talking. And so if you've just tuned in to freedomizerradio.com, make sure you refresh. That will give you the latest screen. So anyway, we're kicking off another episode of Ron's Media Matrix here. Make sure you got plenty of pork rinds and hot sauce or whatever it is to get you through the next 2 hours. And I'll be sharing some news. Then we'll be playing some music, of course. So if you have anything to say, make sure you call us in at 347-324-3704. That's 347-324-3704. So we're going to get underway here. I'm going to step aside for just a few minutes, play a little music, and otherwise I'm going to be covering some news. I'm going to kick off the show with a little tune by Poker Face, Paul Petty and Company. We're going to play Area 51 to kind of set the mood for the big meteorite and asteroid. I'm going to be covering some articles on that as well. So momentarily, I'm going to play a little music here and take a sip of my coffee. And we'll be right back with you here. Ron's Media Matrix brought to you by Free Miser Radio Network. So anyway, here we go. Area 51 by Poker Face.
Nothing that I see is getting through you.
right there was Area 51 by Poker Face. That's Paul Petty and Company. You can go to pokerface.com and find out more about the music there if you'd like. Anyway, I want to give a little shout out to some of our listeners there at the chat room at freedomizerradio.com. We've got a lot of anons in there. I'm not going to name them all. They all got numbers. But we do have King's Forerunner. We got, Z Alchemist. And a lot of anons out there. I'm in there. But anyway, if you'd like to call in, you can call us at 347-324-3704 and express your opinion, whatever it is you got. yeah, a lot of anons today. But it's always good to have somebody here with you. I'll be with you for the next 2 hours, hopefully to entertain and inform. So, you know, I was just looking at our Freedomizer Twitter feed. And that's a little homework I have to do here once in a while. I've been kind of lax at doing that. But, you know, I bookmarked an article down there for, let me go back. So I'm going to keep an eye on you guys there at the chat room. But anyway, I did put an article in this week for, I can't believe this now. Oh, I got my feed coming back on me. Okay, anyway. Yeah, Joe Jesse Jackson Jr., son of the Mr. Jackson. I guess he's a senator, and he claimed he was bipolar. And anyway, now we found out that he went and just took some taxpayer money and started around on a bunch of expensive crap. Better he has to call. I mean, I think he got a fedora for a fedora. That one by Michael Jackson for $400,000 or something. But anyway, now we see what the truth is. That he wasn't really bipolar. He knew he was guilty. I guess he gave him a little time to get his legal defense together. And so I'm going to share this article with you from the Chicago Tribune. I'll put the link in the chat room if you'd like to read along with me. I mean, news just comes and flows in so fast, you can't keep up with it. But I think, you know, it's really, really, it's a shame that these people that are so-called representatives have just gone nuts. So this is from the Chicago Tribune. Lawyer Jackson Jr. wife intend to plead guilty to charges. Well, it's about time. Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife Sandy intend to plead guilty to federal charges alleging the former congressman, he's a congressman, my mistake, not a senator, misused $750,000 in campaign funds while she understated their income on tax returns for 6 years, their lawyers say. More than one lawyer, I guess. Jackson Jr., 47, Democrat from Chicago, was charged, oh, he's from the same place as El Presidente, was charged in a criminal information Friday with one count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud, mail fraud, and false statements. He faces up 5 years in prison, a fine up to $250,000, and other penalties. And I think one of those penalties should include him stepping down as a congressman. I think that would be the best punishment of all. And rescinding all his benefits as a federal employee. But we'll see. I don't think that will happen. Sandy Jackson was charged with one count of filing false tax returns. She faces up 3 years in prison, a fine of $250,000, and other penalties. Now, her wife's going to prison, too. Jackson Jr. is accused of diverting $750,000 in campaign funds for personal use. Federal authorities allege that Jackson Jr. used campaign funds to purchase a $43,350 men's gold-plated Rolex watch. Wow. and $5,150 worth of fur capes and parkas. Oh, boy. And $9,588 in children's furniture. Wow. Must be really expensive to furnish the kids' room. The purchases were made between 2007 and 2009, according to the criminal information, which authorities noted is not evidence of guilt. Other expenditures listed by prosecutors include $10,105 on Bruce Lee memorabilia. Oh, he's a Bruce Lee fan. $11,130 on Martin Luther King memorabilia, and $22,700 on Michael Jackson items, including a $4,600 for a Michael Jackson fedora. Now, he left out, if he's going to be a fan, why not even buy any Chuck Norris memorabilia? Maybe he'll tell us about that in court. The government also alleged that Jackson Jr. made false statements to the House of Representatives because he did not report approximately $28,500 in loans and gifts he received. Pocket change, I guess. He has accepted responsibility for his actions, and I can confirm that he intends to plead guilty to the charge in the information, Jackson Jr.'s attorney Brian Herbelig said. Sandy Jackson is accused of filing incorrect joint tax returns with her husband for calendar years 2006 through 2011, reporting income substantially less than the amount of income she and her husband received in each of the calendar years, with a substantial additional tax due. Her attorneys released a statement saying she had reached an agreement with the U.S. Attorney's Office to plead guilty to one count of tax fraud. Jackson Jr. stepped down from the House of Representatives on November 21st, citing both his poor health and an ongoing federal probe of his activities. Now, since he stepped down, I want that terminated his benefits of being a federal employee. In a statement then, he said he was doing his best to cooperate with federal investigators and to accept responsibility for his mistakes. In a statement, Jackson Jr. said, "Over the course of my life, I have come to realize that none of us are immune from our share of shortcomings and human frailties. Still, I offer no excuses for my conduct, and I fully accept my responsibility for the improper decisions and mistakes I have made. To that end, I want to offer my sincerest apologies to my family, my friends, and all of my supporters for my errors in judgment. And while my journey is not yet complete, it is my hope that I am remembered for the things that I did right." Sandy Jackson's attorney released a statement saying she has accepted responsibility for her conduct and is deeply sorry for her actions and looks forward to putting this matter behind her and her family. She is thankful for the support of her family and friends during this very difficult time. So, he goes on to say Jackson's father, the Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr., said he wanted to attend President Barack Obama's speech Friday at Hyde Park Academy in Chicago, but traveled to Washington, D.C. instead to be with family members while they waited for the federal charges to come down. "This has been a difficult and painful ordeal for our family," the civil rights leader said. The Reverend Jesse Jackson said he would leave it up to the court system to determine his son's fate. "We express our love for him as a family," he said. Jackson Jr.'s political fortune sank beginning late in 2008 when he sought unsuccessfully to have Governor Rod Blagojevich appoint him to the Senate seat that came open with the election of the then Senator Barack Obama to the White House. Jackson Jr., or an emissary, reportedly offered to raise up to $6 million in campaign cash for Blagojevich, who now is in federal prison for crimes including trying to sell a Senate seat. Jackson Jr. was never charged in the case, which became the subject of an ethics probe in the House. Last June, Jackson Jr. began a mysterious leave of absence, what originally was called exhaustion, but later emerged as bipolar disorder. He spent months in treatment and won re-election November 6th, despite never returning to service in the House or staging a single campaign appearance. A campaign to replace him is being conducted now in the 2nd Congressional District, which includes parts of the South Side and South Suburbs. Jackson Jr. was first elected to Congress in 1995. Sandy Jackson was a Chicago alderman until she resigned her post last month. They have two children. So, that from Jesse Jr. He's not bipolar. He's just crazy about throwing away money. And at our expense, of course. So anyway, that is from Chicago Tribune. Well, anyway, I think it's time for another song. We're going to play a little something about Proof's group. I'm going to take a short break, and I'll be with you, be back with you to share some more news articles. And then we'll go to the bottom of the hour, and we'll run through our sponsors. And, of course, as always, you're welcome to call in at 347-324-3704. That's 347-324-3704. And don't forget to listen in at www.freedomizerradio.com. And we have a lot there for you. We have an interactive chat room. You can visit some of our sponsor pages, find out more about all our shows and all our hosts and all the good shows we have lined up for you for the rest of the broadcasting day. So I'm going to play some music here, and I'll be keeping my eye on the switchboard. If you'd like to call in, you're welcome to do so. But we're going to play from Proof's band, Eden, After the False Flag, and we'll be right back after these this musical interlude. So all right, we're back here at Ron's Media Matrix. That was Eden after the false flag. But I was just popping over on the blacklistednews.com site, and I found this article. I was digging through some things here, and I'll share this article with you. I'll put it in the chat room there for you. You can follow along if you like. Another article on the TSA. This is from photography is not a crime.com, abbreviated PINAC, PNAC. Anyway, TSA screeners continue to lie to passengers about legality of recording at checkpoint. By now, it has become clear that the TSA screeners know that recording is allowed at security checkpoints and airports. They just choose to tell passengers that it is not allowed with the hope that the passengers will not know any better. No different than the routine you see from police and security guards on a daily basis. After all, the police have been in the policy has been in effect since the inception of the Transportation Security Administration in 2002, and numerous videos have surfaced where TSA screeners have been forced to acknowledge that recording at checkpoints is allowed. And you will think that someone would mention that to them In their training, considering the TSA has had the information posted on its blog in very easy to read language since 2009. As well, excerpt here, we don't prohibit public passengers or press from photographing, videotaping, or filming at screening locations. You can take pictures at our checkpoints as long as you're not interfering with the screening process or slowing things down. We also ask that you do not film or take pictures of our monitors. I wonder why that would be. In the above video recorded earlier this month at an airport that I didn't see mentioned, a mother begins recording as TSA screeners attempt to frisk her daughter, who is in her wheelchair. The girl, who appears to be around 3, is crying and saying she doesn't want to go to Disney World. So you can imagine how scared she must have been. The mother starts video recording, and the TSA screener tells her it is illegal to record. The mother continues recording, saying nobody's going to touch her daughter unless she records it. Screeners eventually back down from harassing her. But the mother was obviously intimidated from recording their faces, which is something we all must learn to do when we find ourselves in such a situation. This is at least the third time in less than a year that a video has emerged of TSA screeners attempting to frisk children in wheelchairs. But it is the umpteenth time they've tried to tell passengers that video recording is illegal. So tell me what you think about that. As you know, you can call us here at 347-324-3704. That's 347-324-3704. Anyway, that was from Blacklisted News, who I originally sourced that. And we'll see what we got going on here in the chat room. Oh, well, we got a lot of listeners out there. We've got a lot of Enons today. Anyway, I'm going to go over to another article, short article, before we go to our bottom of the hour break and see what we have. Let's see. We're going to do a little something different here. We'll go over to Google News and see if there's any new information in the media, right? Let's see what we got. Now we have something here from Melbourne. This is from Weird News. This is a UFO article. Now, let's see what's going on with that. Maybe a meteorite. You never can tell, you know. We've been living very strange times. But this, I'm going to share this article with you from the Huffington Post Weird News. And then we'll go to our bottom of the hour break. Hmm. haven't looked at the stock market there, you know, 1167. I haven't really looked at it today. Huh. Hmm, okay. MUD, okay, MUD 2679. Yeah, okay, MUD. Anyway, I'm going to cover this UFO article from the Huffington Post, and I've got that link into the chat room there. UFOs light up the Melbourne sky, and there's a video here. UFOs were reported all over the world, and over the weekend they made an appearance in the skies above Melbourne, Australia. Three very bright objects were videotaped maneuvering in a variety of ways, as well as turning the lights on and off as part of the show, reports the International Business Times. At approximately 1:52 of this video, posted to YouTube by Finding UFO, one of the odd lights suddenly shoots away, seemingly from ground level at an incredibly fast speed. While the individual who took the videotape doesn't provide any personal information, commenters to the video suggest they, too, have seen similar lights shows in the sky. According to onlymelbourne.com, we receive UFO sighting reports in Melbourne at the rate of one a week. The vast majority are lights at night and a few with video evidence. And then there's Lou, 220764, who has posted several UFO videos on his YouTube channel like the one below, where he writes, "One of the most amazing sights I had ever recorded, objects not visible to the naked eye. Invasion may be the wrong title, but that's what I felt. I hope they are benevolent." In the UFO world, people who are known as repeaters are almost always immediately considered suspect. The more times you claim to photograph something unusual, the less credibility you seem to have. Since we at Huffington Post don't tend to pass judgment, we leave it to you to decide if Lou 20,764 is following UFO Armada video from Melbourne in November is legit or not. And UFO videographer Lou 2764 uses an infrared camera to allegedly shoot many unexplained aerial objects. "When I first started, I used to get a few captures per week, then every day," he writes in the comments section of his video. "Whatever they are, there are lots of them all over the world." And so that's from the Weird News Huffington Post. It's time for me to go to my sponsor break here. We're at the bottom of the hour. And we will go to our break. Over on the switchboard. And let's see what we got. I know we got some sponsors here. We're going to hear a word from Shade, the motion picture, Liberty Stickers, and others. And we'll be right back with more of Ron's Media Matrix. So make sure you keep it tuned to FreedomizerRadio.com.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella's and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We never let them know that your world government has been identified and they thought they just clawed the world economy.
You have to stand up, speak up, speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 9-1-1 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 9-1-1 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
Hello, campers. This is your Uncle Scott here asking you to join me every Friday night at 9 p.m. Pacific Time right here on freedomizerradio.com. You know, my friends, we're inundated daily with information from all the various sources, media outlets, commercial businesses, government agencies, schools, universities, and then our friends and family who also get that information from the same sources. Well, that information is what influences our decisions every day, what we want to eat, where we want to live, where our kids go to school, what kind of medical help we'll seek, what kind of entertainment we are interested in. I'm thinking, if you don't have all the right information, how sound are those decisions? I want to bring you all the information so that you can make good, clear decisions about your life and how you want to live. With all the right information in your hand, you have the real power to choose.
How do you wake up in the morning? Do you jump out of bed with a smile? Or do you hit the snooze button over and over again? Tune in each Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time to Wake Up and Live. I'm your host, Christine Siegel. On my show, you will learn valuable health and wellness tips that will boost your energy levels. Are you eating a sad diet? Learn how to find quality, nutrient-dense foods. Life is what you make of it. Only you can change your life. You are that important. Join me, Christine Siegel, on Wake Up and Live here on Freedomizer Radio.
All right, we're back here with Ron's Media Matrix, brought to you by Freedomizer Radio. And I was looking through the chat room. We got one A9 wants to call him Mud. So, okay, Mud. So, well, we'll look into that. Anyway, you know, the sequester is, I watched a little bit of that today on the Fox News. You know, he was trying to bring up that issue that the sequester will deplete emergency services and whatnot and this and that. So I don't know exactly what's going on, but it seems like it. There's always this big drama, and then they keep spending the money. I don't know what exactly is going on in Washington. I just cannot follow it. I know they print a lot of money, and I don't understand it. We'll have this sequester. It'll come up. There'll probably be some cuts, and then there will be a big fight between the red and the blue, and they'll make all kind of complaints. And so I don't know what's going on. I just cannot decipher Washington anymore. It's just almost impossible. Now, what you could keep your eyes on is the bigger picture. As I had this article from Blacklisted News. This is sourced out of Freedom Outpost, and I'm going to share this with you. It's an interesting twist on the gun laws. And we'll share that with you there. I'll go into this a little bit. Try to sum up what I see in it. And this is from Freedom Post. Dems sponsor bill allowing in-home inspections of gun owners. So maybe not so much outlawing guns, but now they want to come tromping around in your house if you have a gun, which is kind of a get your foot in the door into no privacy. But we'll look at this article here from blacklistednews.com. The title of the article is Dems Sponsor Bill Allowing In-Home Inspections of Gun Owners. Washington State Democrats have sponsored Senate Bill 5737, which has a little provision that apparently was to go unnoticed that would have said that police have a right to search a private citizen's home once per year if they own certain types of firearms, according to the legislation. In order to continue to possess an assault weapon that was legally possessed on the effective date of this section, the person possessing shall safely and securely store the assault weapon. The sheriff of the county may no more than once per year conduct an inspection to ensure compliance with the subsection. Yes, that means liberal Democrats push forward this legislation in open and defiance of the Fourth Amendment. But that's not all. When they were caught with their hands in the cookie jar, they exclaimed it wasn't their fault and that they made a mistake. I have to admit, it shouldn't be in there, said Senator Ed McMurray, Democrat from Seattle. I've made a mistake, said Senator Adam Klein, Democrat from Seattle. I frankly should have vetted this more closely. And it kind of makes me think they don't read it. Yeah, there was no mistake. This was deliberate. Murray and Klein were sponsors of the bill. They knew exactly what was in it. It's just more BS from the left. Murray also told a gun control rally in January, we will only win if we reach out and continue to change the hearts and minds of Washingtonians. We can attack them or start a dialogue. Interestingly, Danny Westmeat at the Seattle Times writes about Lance Palmer, a Seattle trial lawyer and self-described liberal. I'm a liberal Democrat. I voted for only one Republican in my life, Palmer told me. But now I understand why my right-wing opponents worry about having to fight a government takeover. He added, it's exactly the sort of thing that drives people into the arms of the NRA. Now, this part is actually somewhat encouraging. If a self-professed liberal Democrat, a trial lawyer at that, understands why we believe a real danger of government takeover and abandonment of the law of this land is genuine, then that is at least one guy who is thinking. Hopefully, he'll drop his liberalism and become a pro-gun attorney. And it goes on to say, that's the end of the article. But if you have any thoughts on this article, you're welcome to call us here at 347-324-2704, where you can see here the not so outright outlawing the assault rifle, but now they're going to have the sheriff tippy-toe in your house once a year to make sure that you're following the rules abiding for the possession of that assault rifle. And so, you know, it means the gun owners are going to be targeted, legal gun owners. And this doesn't really do anything to eliminate people illegally possessing weapons. But in this case, they want to just come search around your house. So, anyway, that was from Blacklist News, source originally from Freedom Outpost. If you have any thoughts on that, you're welcome to call us at 347-324-2704. And make sure you stop by www.freedomizeradio.com, where you can participate in our lively chat room there with the guests and the hosts, amongst other things. So I'm going to play a song. I don't really have a plan today. It looks like I do have a listener from area code 646. And 646, if you'd like to have something to say, you can press the 1, and we'll put you in the clay. Well, otherwise, I'm going to go to a little music here. Or maybe we should just go to another article. I'm not sure what I want to do today. It's kind of a slow day for me. We're going to go to a song. But area code 646, if you'd like to comment, just press that 1 button. In the meantime, I'm going to play a little music and keep it tuned right here to freedomizeradio.com. There you go. Area code 646, you're live on Freedom Miles Radio.
Hi, Ron. How are you
doing? Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Oh, I know who this is.
Do you? Can you tell?
From New York?
That's right. That's
right. Haven't heard from you in a while.
Still here. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah. So, you have a comment?
I keep running out of phones. That's why. So I just came in on the tail end of what you were talking about. But
yeah, they've got a bill. They got a bill up that will, rather than outlaw the assault weapon, they rather have it. If you got one, they know who you are, and the sheriff wants to come by your house and inspect once a year.
You know. While I was punching in the number to listen to your show on my other device, I was watching, they've released more videos now of Hurricane Sandy, the aftermath. Like they've released, the government aerial footage of Long
mm-hmm.
Beach Island, of Long Beach Island, New Jersey and stuff. Well, I am real familiar with Long Beach Island, New Jersey, since the late 60s, so I really knew and noticed that there was not a lot of information, actually, at the time in terms of, of real footage, but there is now. And so in terms of what you're talking about with, that military are going to come to people's homes and, take away guns, there's a video that I just watched of the part of Long Beach Island that I'm most familiar with, which is Barnegat Light. That's where the lighthouse is. And I'm going like, wow, no, it's cool. The first thing you'll see, if you're not familiar with it, is you'll see these dump trucks. And what they're doing is they're picking up sand off the street. But what you don't know if you're not from Long Beach Island is these people have been preparing for hurricanes since the 60s. They've done things to build up the sand dunes. They put that sand when they heard that the hurricane was coming. But if you don't know that, it's like you come upon the video and you go, oh, my God, the trucks have to push away all this stuff. And meanwhile, I'm going, hey, good, it worked, because I'm looking behind that at the houses, which I'm familiar with. It's a small town. So anyway, here's what else. Then what happens next is there are marching guys, soldiers, on the streets there. But before that I was going, they were showing, certain sections of the island, the jetty and parks. And I'm going, wow, cool. It's okay. Looks good. Looks like Barnegat Light in the middle of November to me, off season. There's nobody there. That's the way it is. And good,
mm-hmm.
Robert, no damage to it. And then all of a sudden, the next shot, it's this army. These guys with guns and big tank, I don't know guns, but like a big kind of gun. Like, I'm going, what the hell are they doing there? To myself as I'm watching it. What the hell are they doing there? Like, it was almost funny, to tell you the truth. And then I went, my God, there are a lot of Republicans who live down there. So I wondered what their response is. Then they show these guys knocking at the door angrily and wanting people to come out of their homes, which had no damage to the property. Get this. This is a real scenario. No wonder they didn't show us these videos, right? Back there at the time,
Is this a National Guard?
Yeah, it's the National Guard. Yeah.
And they're armed, right?
It's called Knock Knock. The video is called Knock Knock. And, the last shot here, I'm looking at, Ron John's surf shop, which is when you come on the island from Manahawkins. And, That's a place in the island where it gets narrow. It's fine. It didn't even get flooded. There's not even any water. Good job. You know, that's what I said. They've been preparing for hurricanes and since the 60s. These people were recycling back in the 60s. They had, you know, so that's why I was curious. But what's really curious to me and that I want to point out is the way you control people, controlling their food and information. And notice how they held back the real information until, like, how many months is this now? That was back in November, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, see? Interesting. So, you know, you might want to watch this. It really puts a chill up my spine, really, to be watching, you know, to first be looking at, you know, this beautiful place, which is just basically, you know, just regular looking houses, but the ocean, you know, and the Long Beach Island, and then to see the army marching through there, and for what? Chilling up my spine. The fact that they were that their feet were on that same land down there that I love so much. You know, I'm saying a little melodramatic, but, you know, really.
Yeah. So, I mean, you live in the suburbs, so you weren't affected by a lot of the storm damage.
I'm in the city. All the electricity went out except for my building was one of the few buildings. I'm in an apartment building in an area filled with other apartment buildings. We're in little square boxes, you know?
Yeah.
And so, no, it was people couldn't get gas. What we experienced here was that after a few days, even the small stores that had electricity where people were coming to get stuff like water and supplies and beverages, those stores were not getting supplies delivered to them because of the gas shortage after about 3 or 4 days. That's what started happening.
There was no gas being dispensed there for, 5 or 6 days.
So I started telling people, hey, man, go get some canola oil. You know, go on the internet. I don't have a car right now, but I'm a real driver. But I started telling people, go on the internet. Go on the internet and check out some videos about what to use for fuel. Because actually that, you know, canola oil that you're frying all your stuff in is really fuel, you know. So it's not good for you to eat, you know. Telling people that, you know. But they were lined up around the block, and I could see how it is that a population can be controlled by controlling information and the food supply. Geographic location, and, you know, boxing out certain areas, making people think they can't leave. And no guns? I mean, What was somebody in that house in Long Beach Island going to do if that guy all of a sudden had a PTSD attack, you know, that young guy in an
Anthony
Bar? You know what I mean? Right?
Yeah, so, it's really crazy. It's really crazy, yeah.
I'm not going to depend on that. I'm not going to depend on somebody else's mental health, you know, their management of their mental health, you know, and working with that kind of, in that kind of career path, creates, you know, trauma-based behaviors just from the get-go. You say you've got, those guys have PTSD, they could flip out any minute right there, you know, and then you don't have a weapon to defend yourself.
Yeah,
it's too late after it's over. You know, after it's over, it's too late. That's what the word defense means, you know? So I hit the one button because I just want as many people as possible to, you know, as long as we have a choice about what we watch now, you know, for this while, you know, it's worth it, I think, to take a look at what that really looks like, because that really happened. And I love that place. I'm thinking of actually maybe relocating, going down there and talking to the people and seeing what really happens down there, you know?
Yeah. Well, if you do, call us back and give us the inside scoop on that.
I will. You know I will.
Because it took them forever to get the, whatever is the federal funding or whatever, to do the recovery and all that. And I don't know. I mean, I can't decipher what they do in Washington nowadays. They go from one crisis to the next, and you never know quite know what they're going to. Seem like they never run out of money.
Well, you know, what does a person do who is around a lot of other people who don't have money, and all of a sudden they have some extra money? Do they usually tell everybody about it? You know, they tell the whole
family,
hey, I got a big, you know, because what happens? You know, everybody comes to you for money. What my point is, you know, at some level, these are still people, and just because they say they have no money, you know, well, so, yeah, that and it's in the mail, you know, the check's in the mail. Right? Yeah. And did you see this? My interest, the curiosity is really piqued by this this woman, this new appointee. What's your name? Elizabeth Warden? What was it? Warren? Warren.
Yeah.
She was a Republican, and then she's a Democrat, and she's coming out there in the press. Looks like they're making her some kind of a hero, like she's gonna out them and, you know, police their bad criminal behaviors. It's like, oh, so what if they have to pay a couple of billion dollars in fines compared to the trillions, billions, you know, that they have anyway? That's like a hospital, you know, just how they work with their malpractice money. You know, they figure, you know, every year they're going to pay this chunk of money in malpractice suits, and, you know, they add that into their budget, you know. So I'm curious about her, you know. In fact, something real snaky or sneaky about it that I don't like, you know. They all come on the scene as a hero, don't they, you know.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Are you still doing a show with us, or you've?
I'm not. I'm not actually co-hosting that pedal hour because I didn't have the equipment for a while. I'm, you know, really stressed for money, and, you know, if you're not, everybody and everything is trying to push me to get on social services. I mean, this is amazing. Amazing. It's difficult, but it's an amazing process.
Well, anyway,
I don't have the devices. Not able to keep the commitment because I never know if my phone is going to be on or not. You know, because I have to buy cat food. I'm in survival mode, dealing without social services.
Well, we have a few more minutes before we go to our top of the hour break, and I have another caller here. So we're going to put her on. She's from Maryland. And,
thank you.
Yeah. Welcome to Freedom House Radio. You have a question or comment for our guest or host? Or actually, host.
Yeah, I just have a statement to make. I live in Maryland. And we used to having hurricanes in this area. The National Guard was only out doing what they are supposed to be doing, and that is check low-lying areas that are accessible to water, to flooding, to be sure that people are safe. There was an issue where there wasn't anybody going out to that Long Island to help get people who were stranded and who needed help taken care of, and they were out there doing their job. They weren't necessarily controlling anybody. They were just out there trying to be sure that everybody was protected and okay, and that food supply was coming on, and that's all I wanted to say.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to a top of hour break, and if you have any additional comments, we'll hold you over on the break. I'm going to go to my break here a little early, and then I'm going to come back at the top of the hour. So if you want to hold on, you can.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, folks. We're going to go to our break here just a few minutes early. I'll be coming to more news with you after the top of the hour. And as always, you're welcome to call in if you have anything you want to comment on during the course of our news coverage. So anyway, we're going to hear from our sponsors. We're going to have a few awards from Anti-War Tees and Liberty Stickers and a couple others. So we'll be right back after these commercial messages. And here's our ad from Anti-War Tees.
AntiWarTees.com is to promote anti-war activism, unlocking minds and shattering paradigms. By purchasing one of these t-shirts, you become an anti-war activist. www.antiwartees.com, bringing peace and human rights to the mainstream. Buy it, wear it, become it. Anti-War Tees.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Oh, you want to heal the world? Oh, you can't do that. You know, you got to elect the right people. No, change your thinking. Change the way you feel. Change the way you do things. Do everything for peace. Like John Lennon said, walk for peace. You take a shower for peace. Do whatever you do for peace.
Every time you do that, you set a ripple effect out.
Because we live in a vibrational world, and your brain is the instrument. To learn how to direct and control your mind, you guys are superheroes. You know, they don't want you to know that, but you are. You guys are the most powerful people in the world.
We see the power in you to change your thinking. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hi, this is Mary Lou Van Houten, co-host and producer of Getz and Rising on FreedomizerRadio.com. Join host Libby Getzen and me every Monday through Thursday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk with cutting-edge guests about the truth of a variety of topics. We are 100% free speech. Getz and Rising on Freedomizer Radio, because you can handle the truth.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to FreedomizerRadio.com and also Facebook us right at FreedomizerRadio.com. Catch you there.
All right, we're back here on the Media Matrix. I'm going to go to music break because it's getting to be that time of day out here, even though things have cooled off here in Cali. I got to open my windows up. So I'm going to take a little song break here and get my ventilation where I can get a little more comfortable here. And so we'll be right back. And let's see, we're going to play Freedom on the Run by Poker Face. And we'll be right back after I get my windows open.
What's going on?
defend, fight. Who will back me up and do what's right? We are free men and we will stay the same. United, we stand divided, we fall. What's going on?
That was Freedom on the Run by Poker Face. And if you want to find out more about Paul Capetti and company, you go to pokerface.com. So anyway, kind of pick up the pace here and go into the final hour of the program. I was looking around some of the news articles. And I just happened to be scanning the TV here. And it's like they had quite a big storm up here in Minnesota and North Dakota. Wow. So, anybody in Minnesota or North Dakota, if you want to tell us about it, you're welcome to call in at 347-324-3704. I'll be here till noon, and you're welcome to call in. We have any listeners in that area. But anyway, I'm going back over to my blacklistednews.com and find a few things here to talk about. Now, regarding the asteroid barely missed us, but there's a little bit of talk about the asteroid in the chat room, Mystery Guest 101. But I want to talk about the meteorite a little bit, and this article from blacklistednews.com. We'll post that link in the chat room. You can read along with me here. Yeah? And anyway, it's not quite hot, not cold, but sometimes I have to open up the vents a little bit in here to get comfortable. From blacklistnews.com, the source is RT. Russians will spend billions on asteroid defense. Moscow believes an operable national defense against threats from outer space. Back to my article here. From outer space can be built within 10 years' time. A 500 kiloton explosion of a space bolide above the Urals region has sped up allocation of some $2 billion to prevent future threats. Russian scientists have presented a federal program designed to counteract space threats, elaborated by the Institute of Astronomy at Russia's Academy of Sciences and the Central Engineering Research Institute, Russia's leading space industry enterprise. The program has already been approved by Roscosmos, the National Space Agency. The program has nothing to do with Hollywood sci-fi movie scenarios. No lasers, annihilators, or Bruce Willis drilling a huge piece of rock rushing toward Earth. The system will consist of a network of robotic telescopes monitoring space around our planet. Some of them delivered to orbit, others operating from the surface. Destruction of an asteroid in emergency cases may be formed by a rocket with a powerful megaton class thermonuclear warhead. Well, I guess this gives them an excuse to build some more nuclear warheads. If the threat is detected early, more advanced means of changing an asteroid's orbit may be considered. Program costing 58 billion rubles, over $1.9 billion, has already been handed over to the head of Russia's defense industry, Deputy Prime Minister Dmitry Rogozin, who is expected to present it to Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev. Lydia Ryklova from the Institute of Astronomy, who presented the project, reported that Russia will need to modernize and fully computerize the 60-centimeter lens telescopes it already has. Several larger telescopes with a 2-meter lens will have to be additionally installed. Ryklova announced that an analytical center will be created to collect the data from various sources and analyze it in real time. Professor of the Moscow State University, head of the Laboratory for Space Monitoring, Vladimir Lipunov, told Interfax News Agency that it will take about 2 years to modernize all Russia's existing 9 telescopes with a diameter of the lens of 40 centimeters and unite them into one network. A network of larger telescopes across the globe could be ready in 5 years. And here's a quote, it will cost a mere trifle what Roman Abramovich paid for Chelsea Football Club and cover all the costs of the project, Lapunov said. According to Forbes, during the 8 years of owning Chelsea, Abramovich spent $1.3 billion on the football club. Lapunov stressed that tracking and forecasting space threats is more real and efficient than engaging air defense systems to deal with meteorites in the atmosphere, as people could be evacuated from an impact zone in advance. The asteroid threat is growing by the year. There's a lot of asteroids orbiting close to Earth, and every year up to 1,000 more are being discovered, Lydia Rokolov said, specifying that 3 years ago the number of known asteroids passing close to our planet was about 7,000, and now the number has grown up to around 9,400. Most of the relatively large asteroids with a diameter of 1 kilometer and larger are already known. We know about 90% of kilometer-class asteroids. Their orbits are well-known and predictable. As for the smaller 40 to 50-meter ones, we still have insufficient observation apparatus. The more we observe, the more of them we'll find, like Clover acknowledged. If the space object is discovered beforehand, at least a month prior to possible collision with Earth, there's time to find out its size and consider various measures of its elimination. The execution of a really complicated operation will require at least a year, like Lova pointed out. Therefore, our emergency aid is a rocket with a nuclear warhead, she concluded. Yeah, that'll always solve it. Anyway, that was from BlacklistNews.com, source from RT. And anyway, you can check that article out. I'll post the link in the chat room. So just kind of going over and looking around here. If you'd like to call in, you can at 347-324-3704. Talk about asteroids or whatever. So we'll be here for the remainder. The next 45 minutes and 41 seconds. So let me flip over to another article here and see what we have. Oh, I wanted to cover this. This is something I've run across also. I guess if you guys have heard of Google Glasses. Well, it looks like, according to the Mail Online, they've got a working model for police officers. And we'll talk about that here. Put that link in the chat room for you. This is from the Mail Online. The RoboCop headset that lets police see through walls and identify suspects just by looking at them. So this is an interesting article here right across. It looks just like the Google Glasses. A headset computer promises to give police officers and other emergency services RoboCop-like abilities. And this is called the Golden Eye device. The Golden Eye device, similar to the Glass project being developed by Google, offers the ability to see through walls thanks to infrared technology. It is operated by voice commands and head movements and allows the wearer to access vital information without using their hands. and there's a bunch of pictures there at CompTIA that accompanies the article. GoldenEye has been developed by a U.S. company, Copen Corporation, but software solutions tailored to police, firefighters, and paramedics have been created by Nottinghamshire-based firm Iconos Consulting. It was shown off at the Consumer Electronics Show 2013 show in Las Vegas last month, although the firm says it is too early to give a price. It is set to be trialed this year and could go on sale before Google's Glass project, which is far more compact headset. The search giant also plans to release this year. The Police Pro application provides real-time situational awareness in the field by allowing officers to record incidents for later analysis and view live video feeds from other GoldenEye headsets. The system can also identify suspects using facial recognition, receive alerts from motion sensors, scan license plates instantly, monitor basic vital signs, and call up floor plans and GPS coordinates. The Firefighter Pro application allows firefighters to call up floor plans and GPS coordinates, see through walls using infrared technology, monitor crew and surroundings, navigate through unknown environments, and provide on-site video streaming. The Paramedic Pro application allows first responders and paramedics to share multiple videos and data feeds over a private network, enabling critical information to be shared instantly across multiple devices, improving decision-making and safety. They can also access medical records, stream live video, discuss options with associates, and view maps or use GPS. Office workers can also benefit from the technology with Iconos created LifeWare application. A system enables you to customize up to 6 different screens to meet personal working preferences and manage your day. The GoldenEye unit features an inertially stabilized 14-megapixel camera with optional infrared camera for thermal and night vision, a 1080 HD detachable camera for recording or sending real-time video can also be added. And the GoldenEye, selected GoldenEye devices come preloaded with a set of core GI OS applications, including Email Center, Ask Ziggy, Web Browser, and File Explorer. GoldenEye platform will continue to evolve as the developer community works together to build voice-controlled augmented reality applications for GoldenEye. The GoldenEye hardware and software developer kit is expected to be released this summer, while the consumer version is slated later in the year. So you can see that article and link in the chat room. Looks just like the Google Glasses. Wow. Looks a little bit dorky, though. Looks like it might have stereo headphones on. Yeah, it's got that little detachable camera on the side there. So, yeah. I don't think I'll be wearing one of these anytime soon. Anyway, I'm going to play a song here, and we'll be back with you. Cover some more news. And I'll go dig up some other things to discuss here on the show. And as always, you're welcome to call in at 347-324-3704. But in the meantime, I'm going to play a song. So stay tuned. And let me roll down here. I'm going to get something from Eden. I'm going to hear from That Little Smile by Eden. And that's Bruce Fan. And here we go. So we'll be right back after this musical interlude. Thank you. Back here live with Ron's Meeting Mix. I guess I had a little dead air there. Took a little longer than I thought to heat my coffee up. Apologize for that dead air. But anyway, yeah, let's see what we've got going here. I know I can find more news to cover here with you guys. We're almost time for the bottom of the hour, but I'm going to see if I can find something short to go and get into. Independent media news. Blacklist news, that is. Now, I see an article here from Iran. That's quite what I wanted. Now, here's something from... This is from New York Times. And let's see what the full article is. Okay, we'll cover this article from the New York Times. It's from the Business Day section. Let's see. I'm going to drop the link in the chat room here for you. This is from the New York Times Business Day section. The title of the article is, "Don't Blink or You'll Miss Another Bailout." Many people became rightfully upset about bailouts given to big banks during the mortgage crisis, but it turns out that they are still going on, if more quietly, through the back door. The existence of one such secret deal struck in July between the Federal Reserve Bank of New York and Bank of America came to light just last week in court filings, that the New York Fed would shower favors on a big financial institution may not surprise. It has long shielded large banks from assertive regulation and increased capital requirements. Still, last week's details of the undisclosed settlement between the New York Fed and the Bank of America are remarkable. Not only do the filings show the New York Fed helping to thwart another institution's fraud case against the bank, they also reveal that the New York Fed agreed to give away what may be billions of dollars in potential legit legal claims. Here's the skinny. Late last Wednesday, the New York Fed said in a court filing that in July it had released Bank of America from all legal claims arising from losses in some mortgage-backed securities the Fed received when the government bailed out the American International Group in 2008. One surprise in the filing, which was part of a case brought by AIG, was that the New York Fed let Bank of America off the hook even as AIG was seeking to recover $7 billion in losses on those very mortgage securities. It gets better. What did the New York Fed get from Bank of America in the settlement? Some $43 million, it seems, from a small dispute the New York Fed had with the bank on two of the mortgage securities. At the same time, and for no compensation, it released Bank of America from all other legal claims. When asked the Fed to discuss this gift to the bank, it declined. To understand how the settlement happened, we must go back to the dark days of September 2008. With the giant insurer AIG teetering, the government stepped in. As part of the rescue, AIG sold mortgage securities to an investment vehicle called Maiden Lane II, overseen by the New York Fed. AIG was bleeding from its toxic mortgage holdings, many of which were issued by Bank of America, and it received $20.8 billion for securities with a face value of $39.2 billion. In 2011, aiming to recover some of that $18 billion loss, the insurer sued Bank of America for fraud. The case, filed in New York State Court, sought $10 billion in damages from the bank. $7 billion of that related to securities that AIG sold to Maiden Lane II. Bank of America, for its part, argued that AIG had no standing to sue for fraud on the Maiden Lane securities. With the sale, Bank of America contended the right to bring a legal claim against the bank for fraud passed to Maiden Lane II. That entity, controlled by the New York Fed, never brought fraud claims against the bank. Not so fast, said AIG. Under New York law, which governs Maiden Lane II, an entity has to explicitly transfer the rights to sue for fraud, it said. The original agreement between New York Fed and AIG never specified such a transfer, the insurer contended. To settle this question, AIG filed a separate lawsuit against Maiden Lane II in a New York court last month. AIG's $10 billion fraud case against Bank of America, meanwhile, was moved to federal court. For pretrial purposes, the bank asked that Mariana R. Baszler, federal judge in the Central District of California, oversee aspects of the case involving the bank's countrywide unit, which was in California. Its request was granted on January 30th. Judge Felser said she would rule on the issue of who owns the legal claims. Initially, in an October 2011 letter to AIG, the New York Fed agreed that the insurer had the right to seek damages under security laws on instruments it sold to Maiden Lane II. More recently, the New York Fed began helping Bank of America battle AIG. In late December, the New York Fed provided two declarations to the bank. One stated that Maiden Lane II had intended to receive all litigation claims relating to the mortgage securities, meaning that it alone would have had the right to sue. Another said that the October letter was not an interpretation of the Maiden Lane agreement. But John Dyer, an AIG spokesman, said in a statement that AIG and the Federal Reserve Bank of New York never discussed or agreed on any transfer of AIG's residential mortgage-backed securities fraud claim to Maiden Lane II. He added that AIG believes it is the rightful owner of these claims and remains committed to holding Bank of America and other counterparties responsible for the harm caused. Last week, the New York Fed opposed AIG's efforts to have the question of who owns the legal rights decided in New York, whose law governs the Maiden Lane II agreement rather than in California. It was in this filing that the New York Fed disclosed its confidential July 2012 deal with Bank of America, releasing it of any liability arising from fraud in the Maiden Lane II securities. Let's recap. With zero compensation, the New York Fed released Bank of America from what may be sizable legal claims, knowing that AIG was trying to recover on those claims. So anyway, we've got to go to the bottom of an hour break here. And as always, if you'd ever like to call in, you can call us at 347-324-3704. That's 347-324-3704. And be sure to check out www.freedomizerradio.com. That's www.freedomizerradio.com. We have a lively chat room there where you can interact with the guests and the host. And also you can find out more about Freedomize Radio, the host, and their shows. So anyway, we're going to go to a commercial break here, and we'll be back with more after this commercial break. So let me go up to my ads here real quick, get those out of the way. And anyway, we're going to hear a word from Salive cell phones.
Hey, guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solave. And Solave is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have Solave, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solave. You sign up enough people, and Solave pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to Solave.com/freedomizer. That's Solave, Solabei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, Solave.com/freedomizer. Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants, I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time.
Some other facts to consider here: there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to FreedomizerRadio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on FreedomizerRadio.com.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Oh, mister, you are so tall. What's your name?
Peter.
Like in the audio drama, In Our Image?
Exactly.
Oh, I love listening to In Our Image on Freedomizer Radio with Sound Doctor Ministry. What kind of name is Halo anyway?
It means bringer of light. And young lady, right now, I want to bring a little light to you. Elohim servant Emmanuel, trying to tell you something he says is special. My advice to you, don't waste your time.
Join me, Valerie Ann, on the Truth Exposition Show at Freedomizer Radio in exposing the truth about FEMA camps, drone surveillance, martial law, the New World Order, our threatened freedoms and civil liberties, and for weekly news and current events. Mainstream media continues with its lies and deceit to fulfill the agenda of the New World Order. So please join me in exposing the truth, along with the lies and the deceptions that are being fed to the American people. The people of the United States have a voice, and your voice will be heard through Freedomizer Radio.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Hi, we're back here with Ron's Media Matrix, brought to you by Freedomizer Radio. And, man, we're getting down towards the end of the show. So I'm going to flip over to naturalnews.com and see what's going on over there that might be of interest to our listeners. So we're going to go over here, and I know they always have a lot of good articles from Health Ranger there. And let's see what we've got featured. Okay. Now here's an article from about GMO crops, and I'm going to cover this a little bit here. This is from naturalnews.com, and I'll drop the link in the chat room if you'd like to read along with me. U.S. farmers may stop planting GMOs after horrific crop yields. Natural News: some farmers across the United States may stop planting genetically modified crops after poor yields are increasing costs beyond what they can absorb. According to Farmers Weekly, those farmers are considering returning to conventional seed after increased pest resistance and crop failures have meant smaller GM crop yields over non-GM counterparts. Farmers in the U.S. pay about $100 more per acre for GM seed. many have begun questioning whether they will continue to see benefits from using GMs, the Farmers publication reported. It's all about cost-benefit analysis, economist Dan Bassey, president of AgriSource, an American agricultural research firm, said. Farmers are paying extra for the technology, but have seen yields which are no better than 10 years ago, he told the Weekly. They're starting to wonder why they're spending extra money on the technology, a problem that is becoming more widespread. Publication said one of the biggest problems U.S. farmers have experienced with GM seed is resistance. When GM seeds were first introduced, biotech engineers said it would be 4 years before resistance would develop. But pests such as corn rootworm have instead developed a resistance to GM crops in as few as 14 years. Some of these bugs will eat the plant and will make them sick, but not kill them. It starts off in pockets of the country, but then becomes more widespread, Bassey said. We're looking at going back to cultivation to control it. I now use insecticides again, he said. If farmers don't move back towards non-GMOs, the availability of seed will become an issue, he said, noting that some 87% of U.S. farmers currently plant genetically modified seed. Countries around the world that do not use GM seed are outperforming U.S. farmers. The largest crop yields last year were in Asia and in China in particular, where farmers don't plant GM seeds. For years, there has been concern that GM seeds would develop resistance to pesticides and weed killers. Now, some of the largest biotech firms that push such seeds, like Monsanto, have consistently denied or downplayed such concerns. Scott McAllister, a third-generation farmer in Iowa, told the Huffington Post in October he was leery of Monsanto's claims when a seed peddler came to see him last fall. Down the road, are we going to experience resistance in weeds with the continued use of Roundup? McAllister said he recalls asking the salesman. Oh, no, that will never happen, he was told. Sure it won't. Monsanto's combination of GM seeds and a Roundup herbicide was supposed to help crops thrive, not weeds and bugs. But 15 years later, when most corn, soybeans, and cotton cultivated in the U.S. comes from Roundup-ready seed, an increasing number of these crops are falling prey to superweeds that have become resistant to the GM seeds and herbicide that was supposed to kill them forever. From Huffington Post, this repeated application of the Sur herbicide has literally weeded out the weak weeds and given the rare resistant weeds the opportunity to take over. The situation, according to a report published in the peer-reviewed journal Environmental Sciences Europe, has driven growers to use larger quantities of Roundup more often and in conjunction with a broader arsenal of other weed-killing chemicals. It's been a slowly unfolding train wreck, Charles Benbrook, author of the study and professor at the Center for Sustaining Agriculture and Natural Resources at Washington State University, said. Before biotech came on the market, we had one airplane in the country do all the aerial spraying, McAllister told the online newspaper. Now they bring in seven or eight. We've got the same acreage of crops, they're just spraying more. And so that was something that was sourced from a couple of websites here, wwfwico.uk and the Huffington Post. But anyway, yeah, that was definitely something of interest there. And I was going to look at a few more articles before we get out of here for the day. I saw this earlier in the week. This also from Natural News. And we'll share that with you in the chat room. This is from Natural News. Fake sweetener, Splenda, fills our ocean, scientists find. Natural News. A new study by scientists from the University of North Carolina at Wilmington found that the bulk of the popular sweetener, Splenda, which is used all over the world, is winding up in the Gulf Stream, the conveyor belt of water transport that circulates in the Atlantic Ocean from the coast of North America to Europe, Africa, and beyond. A study conducted by the scientists at the University's Marine Atmospheric Chemistry Research Laboratory and the journal Marine Chemistry said that only about 10% of the main component in spunda, which is sucralose, is absorbed by the body, meaning 90% of it leaves the body and winds up in sewage systems. Sucralose, discovered in 1976 and made popular by spunda in 1999, is used in 80 countries to sweeten foods and drinks without calories and the carbohydrates or sugar, said the university in a press release. Although it is a derivative of table sugar, sucralose cannot be effectively broken down by the bacteria in the human digestive tract. As a result, the body absorbs little or no calories, and 90% of the chemical compound leaves the body through human waste and enters sewage systems. Long-term effects, we don't know yet, but and that's the problem. Ralph Mead, Brooks Avery, Jeremy Morgan, and Robert Kieber, professors at the lab, along with graduate student Alexandra Kirk, said they were surprised by the dearth of peer-reviewed research regarding what happens to sucralose once it enters the environment. They said some scientists from Switzerland and North America previously found the chemical compound inland, but the Marco researchers focused on whether sucralose had entered ocean currents. After the research team found significant levels of the compound in North Carolina's Cape Fear River, scientists conducted research cruises sampling the waters of the Gulf Stream off the coast of North Carolina and Florida. All of the samples revealed the presence of sucralose, said the university, which indicated that the artificial sweetener endures the wastewater treatment process designed to dissolve foreign chemicals. The sucralose is not eliminated through wastewater treatment and makes its way to the Gulf Stream, and theoretically it will travel where the Gulf Stream goes, said Kieber. The Environmental Protection Agency has identified the artificial sweetener as a contaminant of emerging concern, but it does not yet regulate personal care products and pharmaceuticals, which is the bioactive chemical class that sucralose falls into. Further, the university said there are limited long-term studies on the compound's impact to humans, the environment, wildlife, and vegetation. The scientists said it's unclear what kind of damage, if any, prolonged exposure to the compound will cause. What happens when we have been exposed to these chemicals for 20-plus years, we can't expel them. We have to start monitoring sucralose now, said Morgan. The scientists said that they are concerned that sucralose could have long-term impacts on the environment. Our concern, said the university, is that feeding habits of animals could be altered because sucralose mimics sugar but has no nutritional value. Currently, the research team is examining how science might mitigate the impact of sucralose on the environment by equipping wastewater treatment plants with technology designed to remove the compound before it reaches the world's oceans. An earlier study from nearby Duke University in 2008 found that Splenda use contributes to weight gain and other health problems. The Duke study makes it clear that the artificial sweetener Splenda and its key component sucralose pose a threat to the people who consume the product, said James Turner, chairman of Citizens for Health, an international nonprofit consumer health education group. Hundreds of consumers complained to us about the side effects from using Splenda, and this study confirms that the chemicals in the little yellow package should carry a big red warning label, he said. So that was from naturalnews.com. And, yep, Splenda's winding up in the ocean. And the fish are eating it, too. So, anyway, it's almost that time again for our calendar. And we'll get over to the calendar. And looks like Eagle 21 in the chat room said it's snowing. I just wonder if he's in North Dakota or Minnesota, one of those places hit by the big whiteout conditions earlier in the day. Anyway, we'll get over to our calendar. If I can find it. Oh, here it is. So coming up the rest of the day here on Freedomizer Radio, of course, my wonderful host, Reverend Kenneth Emanuel, will be with us at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries, along with Chuck Colson's two-morning, and I believe he's still covering the Inner Image by Bill Sullivan, the Christian radio drama, so be sure to stay tuned for that. And it looks like we also have Gats and Rising, 1:30 to 3 p.m., and I'll pop over and see if she has any guests on her show today. We'll go over to the backstage, if I can find my backstage page. Oh, here it is. And we'll make an announcement for Mary Lou and Van Hooten. Let's see, the most recent post. We've got a lot of new. I haven't had time, but I want to welcome Tom Sims and Judy Morris. I don't know what shows they'll be doing, but be sure. And David Curtis. We've got a lot of new hosts coming up. Debbie Bruck, Tom. and we got a lot of new people in there. We just posted today. I'm trying to find out. I don't know. I don't see any new posts by Mary Lou Van Hooten. So I don't know what Gats and Rising has coming up. But be sure to tune into her show right after Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries that proceeds there from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. And we also have Truth Train with Liberty Lisa from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I don't know if she's got any guests or not. I don't see any announcements in the backstage here. But that will be 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Truth Train with Liberty Lisa, and that's following Gats and Rising. So that's what we got. And of course, we have the ABC show, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. ABC always puts on a good show there. And then from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., the big boss is in the house. We have the Proof Negative show. Be sure to stay tuned for that. And let's see, look at our announcements in the backstage here, our Facebook group. See if Proof has any announcements. nothing new so far. Let me do a refresh. Anyway, nothing there. Proof Negative. We'll probably be talking about something. Seems like he has more guests than anybody else here. He's really consistent. And then later on, we skip down to 10:30 to 12 p.m. tonight, Pacific Standard Time, of Critical Immunity. So a lot of good shows coming up here on Freedomizer Radio, and I'm Ron with Ron's Media Matrix. It's time for me to get out of here. So I'm going to leave a little slack time here. I'm going to play a song on the way out so our next host can take over. This will be Reverend Kenneth Emanuel, and I'll put on a song here. Wilson was able to quay up right on time today, and we'll see if we can leave a little room from Kenneth here to get ready for his show. Let's see what I want to play. I'm going to leave the show here today. We're going to wrap it up with Break Control. Poker Face, and we'll see you guys next week. I believe I should have Rick Timmis from the EU's unit. He's a European podcaster. Looks like it's going to be an interesting show. He's going to give us his perspective on the new world order from the European side of things. So anyway, we'll see you guys next week. And here's Right to Control from Poker Vice.
Right, they'll knock.